So Thutmose II marries Hatshepsut, who is only 12 years old, but she is the right woman. She has the pure blood, royal blood, and becomes Thutmose II becomes pharaoh of Egypt by marrying Hatshepsut. Now, she's 12 years old. He's in his 20s. All indications are, it was not a great marriage. Thutmose II, her husband, was not a great king, didn't erect great buildings, didn't lead the army in battle. We even have his mummy, and it doesn't look like a healthy man. But they were married for 20 years. I think it was a long 20 years for Hatshepsut. They had a daughter, right? They had a daughter. And when Thutmose II finally dies, we have the same question. Who's going to be the next king? Well, the answer is that there is a son. There is a son of Thutmose II and another wife, who's going to become Thutmose III. But he's only a child. He's maybe 7 years old. So Queen Hatshepsut, who is the widowed queen, becomes regent of Egypt. She decides that she will rule Egypt for a while. She's Queen Hatshepsut until Thutmose III comes of age and can rule by herself. Now, what is this woman going to do? She's ruling Egypt. She can't lead in battle. She doesn't really do that, I don't think. There's an inscription that says she was in Nubia in the south leading the men in battle, but I don't think it's true. But she does build. And she builds a temple that is absolutely unique in Egypt. And I think it's perhaps the most beautiful temple in all of Egypt. It's called Deir el-Bahri. Deir el-Bahri. It means in Arabic, the place of the northern monastery. There used to be monasteries there. You see, Bar, Deir el-Bahri, Bar, Bahri. Bar means sea, and the Mediterranean Sea is in the north. So Bahri means northward, seaward, right? There was once a monastery there in later times. And Hatshepsut builds this temple. And on the walls of the temple, she puts basically her autobiography, the things that she is proudest of. Now, remember, she's ruling with Thutmose III. That is, he's really the legitimate king, but he's a kid. So she starts ruling. Now, what does she put on the walls of her temple? What is she most proud of, right? Well, one of the things she talks about is her birth. Every pharaoh is a god. And she talks about her divine birth. Now, she's a woman. How does she get this divine birth? Is she the falcon? Is she this? She says that the god Amun, disguised as her father, Thutmose I, visited her mother, seduced, and that Hatshepsut is the product of this union. So Hatshepsut says, my father is really Amun. This is something that she says. She is royal now and divine. That's one thing she puts on the temple. But the other thing she puts on the temple puzzled early Egyptologists. And let me tell you what happened when Champollion, in the 1820s, now Champollion had just deciphered hieroglyphs, first one to decipher hieroglyphs. He comes to the temple of Deir el-Bahri, looks at it, he can read the hieroglyphs, and he's puzzled. He doesn't understand what's going on. He's looking at it and he sees two kings together. Two. One he knows about, a famous king, Thutmose III. That is the little boy that she is ruling in place of. And there's another king, though. Now, Thutmose III is going to grow up to be a great pharaoh, so he's known by 1820s. But there's another king that Champollion had never heard of. The king's name is Hatshepsut. And he can't figure out the grammar of it, because Hatshepsut is described as sometimes her majesty, sometimes as his majesty, but it's clearly a king, wearing the false beard of authority that all pharaohs wear, wearing the kilt, a starched kilt. She is clearly a king, and nobody could figure out what happened. Who is this king, kingette, almost? It's almost as if it's kingette, her majesty, his majesty. They eventually figured out what had happened. After a few years of ruling as regent, as queen of Egypt,